I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm tired of hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
Listen, all you mother...
Politics, politics, humor, humor, tequila, tequila, and an IQ of under 64. Yeah. You're listening to Fart Cop Radio, 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 Radio.
Hi, my name is Bart. This is Bart Cop Radio, show number 49, heard on the Bart Cop Broadcasting Radio Network. I'm lying. It's just a little dinky radio show and knuckle drag. But big, big show today. The 2004 Democratic Convention Special. Oh, we got some speeches for you. We captured every speech. This is a nine-hour show. We captured the very best of the speeches, this nine-hour show. We're going to bring you all the excitement of Ed Rendell running down a list of reasons to vote for Kerry. No, just kidding. What we have is a couple of speeches, and I took out all the crap. So all that's left is the red meat that I know you're going to want to hear. Oh, boy, what fun this is going to be. We're going to have the last elected president going to rouse up the crowd a little bit. We're going to have the Reverend Al. He's hit the home run, the Reverend Al. And we got a little bit of Al Gore. Al Gore was a little too nice, but I cut out all the wimpy parts. Made even Al Gore sound good. Got a little bit of this, got a little bit of that. But I got to tell you, my favorite moment of the whole convention came about 3-4 minutes after Kerry finished his big speech. I don't know if you heard it. A few people talked about it. It was on CNN. It was a magic moment. Way, way long time ago, back around maybe show number 4 or 5, I went on and on about how fun it was. I bought the U2 DVD in Boston. And they have 3 or 4 different ways you can listen to the show. You can listen to the show that came out of the speakers, which is the soundboard. You can hear what the show sounded like if you were standing there with all the giant hall ambiance, as the French say. Or you could hear the control booth version. And that's my favorite because the guys all worked up. Oh, here we go. Ready? Countdown. 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom. Oh, go, boys. Go, boys. Yeah, yeah. Go, boys. Oh, fucking great. Oh, what a good. Oh, and you could hear the director really having the time of his life because the whole world was watching. It was the halftime of the NBA All-Star Game, something like that. And they had maybe, whatever, 20 million people listening. Big, big audience. And he was so happy to get it right. Well, this is kind of like that, but different. For some reason, nobody knows why. Never saw this before in all of television. When Kerry got done speaking, for some reason, there was no reason to do this, but for some reason they cut to this guy, Don somebody, who was the director of the convention. And he was in charge of telling the cameraman where to go and telling what to do what. Get this guy ready. Get this guy ready. Hold on. On 5, we're going to this guy. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. So after Kerry got done speaking, they said, this guy comes on, you can hear his voice in the background. A lot of roaring going on. You got the CNN whores. They shut up for a minute. Again, for no reason. They just shut up so they could put this director on there. And he's saying, I need some confetti. I need some balloons. I need more confetti. I need some more balloons. And then he said this.
All balloons. Where the hell is nothing falling? What the fuck are you guys doing up there?
I had a couple drinks on me at the time, and I thought that was just about the funniest thing ever. Oh, I can just see the FCC now. They're going to fine the Democrats $2 million in every station that carried that speech. Well, I think it might have just been the CNN's feed. But are they going to charge CNN and the Democrats millions of dollars because someone dropped the F-bomb on TV? But then again, our vice president told Patrick Leahy, go fuck himself. So maybe the rules are a little different now. It's bad when Bono says this is fucking great when they give him an award. Funny how the U2 keeps coming up. But when Cheney tells Leahy to go fuck himself, that's a good thing because liberals are bad. Funny how that works. Okay, big, big show. A lot of convention stuff here. I just had to start out with my favorite moment. Got a shout-out to Naco kicked the show off today. Here it is right here. Oh, that's good stuff, that Chinako. And I got to say it, final time, the Chinako and the corn kind of got put together this summer. And just fate, the way it is, now that the day August 1st hit, the last day of the corn was July 31st, and it was 74 degrees. August 1st, It was 98 degrees. The day after, it didn't make a F. Now it finally got hot in Oklahoma. Gar heard my prayers, but he is about 5 weeks late. Thanks, God. So, got the Tanaka out of the way, got the corn story out of the way, got my favorite moment from the convention out of the way. We'll start the big, big show.
This is www.bartcop.com.
After 19 years in the United States Senate, my opponent has had thousands of votes, but very few signature achievements.
Well, we could talk about what he didn't do. He didn't lie to get us into a war that killed 1,000 soldiers. He didn't force a tax cut down our throats that cost us $11 trillion, plus the economic health of America. He didn't turn back decades of progress on the environment. He didn't cause the entire world to hate us and mistrust us the way you did, Governor.
During 8 years on the Senate Intelligence Committee, he voted to cut the intelligence budget.
Technically, that's true. He voted to cut it 1%, and the Republicans ended up cutting it 2%. You're a lying monkey, Governor.
And he had no record of reforming America's intelligence-gathering capability.
Well, neither do you, and it's your job. 9/11 wasn't Kerry's fault. 9/11 was your fault. You're the one that went to the cows instead of sending out an alert that you got a PDB on August 6th saying Osama was coming and he was going to use airplanes. Did you notify the FAA? No. Did you call an alert to alert the country to watch out? No. Did you do anything? Did you notify the airlines to beef up? No. You just went to Crawford. Now, was that an accident or did you intend to let Osama take over New York?
At the Democratic Convention, Planned Parenthood made clear it is not merely pro-choice, it's pro-abortion. Seen at the Fleet Center, a young woman wearing T-shirts with lettering, I had an abortion. They're for sale on Planned Parenthood's website for $15. I had an abortion is also the title of a documentary featuring women who don't regret having abortions. The documentary maker says abortion is safe, legal, and very common. So much for politicians who say they want to make it rare. That's not what their supporters want.
Well, I have to sort of agree with Bob Novak. I can't imagine anybody being pro-abortion. And it sure is hurting our side for these idiots to wear shirts like that. But let's say that is a 5 on the scale of an outrage, Bob. Now, where would you put on the scale of outrage selling T-shirts in 1996 that said, Lee Harvey Oswald, where is he when you need him? That's what they did at the 96 convention. They advertised for the murder of the president. Now, compared to I had an abortion and let's murder Bill Clinton, I kind of think you're the guys with the outrage, not us.
Margaret Carlson.
Mark, the Democratic convention police vetted and scrubbed every speech until they were flat as pancakes. Bad enough. But then, when Al Sharpton invoked the late, blind Ray Charles, who, like so many, had to trust that America was beautiful and played the song, the most moving moment of the evening, all the pundit police could talk about was how he disobeyed the rules. I say bravo, Reverend. Now, if you just apologize for Tawana Brawley, you can come back into the family of man.
My opinion of Margaret Carlson was made very clear back in show 45, and I caught some hell for it, maybe rightfully so. But what a bitch she is. Isn't Tawana Brawley at least 20 years old? I mean, isn't the story at least 20 years old? Even Rush Limbaugh, when he sees Al Sharpton, doesn't immediately go to Tawana Brawley. Hannity, Michael Savage, none of those people immediately. They'll get there if it's Al Sharpton week, then they'll talk about it. But when they see Sharpton, they don't see Brawley. But funny how Margaret Carlson does. And she's there to speak for the Democrats. Oh, what are they paying the prostitutes at CNN these days?
Cato Byrne.
This week, John Kerry's passionate progressive supporters let loose all over Boston, but the Fleet Center was a liberal crackpot free zone. The hateful tirades delegates loved was strictly off camera. At a Tuesday forum, Howard Dean said the Bush administration, quote, is an administration where they like book burning better than book reading, end quote. He did counsel Democrats not to call the president a fascist, saying, quote, you're not supposed to do that this week anyway, end quote. When's the right time to call the president of the United States a brown-shirted book burner, Howard?
Hey, Kate, I can answer that one. The right time is when the president is one of those people. First thing Bush did, the minute he got to the White House, first thing he did was he cut off communication. He said, we don't want doctors speaking frankly to their female patients from now on. Now, that's not exactly book burning, but it's gagging a doctor when the mother's health is at stake is a crime probably worse than book burning. The brown-shirted fascist got off a little easy this time.
Today, our Democratic Party is led by another former naval officer, one who volunteered for military service. He showed up when assigned to duty. And he served with honor and distinction. He also knows the horrors of war and the responsibilities of leadership. And I am confident that next January, he will restore the judgment and maturity to our government that nowadays is sorely lacking. I am proud. After 9/11, America stood proud, wounded, but determined and united. A cowardly attack on innocent civilians brought us an unprecedented level of cooperation and understanding around the world. But in just 34 months, we have watched with deep concern as all this goodwill has been squandered by a virtually unbroken series of mistakes and miscalculations. Unilateral acts. Let us not forget that the Soviets lost the Cold War because the American people combined the exercise of power with the adherence to basic principles based on sustained bipartisan support. We understood the positive link between the defense of our own freedom and the promotion of human rights. But recent policies have cost our nation its reputation as the world's most admired champion of freedom and justice. What a difference these few months of extremism have made. The United States has alienated its allies, dismayed its friends, and inadvertently gratified its enemies by proclaiming a confused and disturbing strategy of preemptive war. With our allies disunited, the world resenting us, and the Middle East ablaze, we need John Kerry to restore life to the global war against terrorism. In the world at large, we cannot lead if our leaders mislead. You can't be a war president Monday and claim to be a peace president the next, depending on the latest political polls. The basic issue is whether America will provide global leadership that springs from the unity and the integrity of the American people, or whether extremist doctrines, the manipulation of the truth, will define America's role in the world. At stake is nothing less than our nation's soul. And so I say to you and to others around the world, whether you wish us well or ill, do not underestimate us Americans. We lack neither strength nor wisdom. There's a road that leads to a bright and hopeful future. What America needs is leadership. Our job, my fellow Americans, is to ensure that the leaders of this great country will be John Kerry and John Edwards. Thank you, and God bless America.
I did some recording Monday night. Got a lot of convention stuff here. Obviously, you don't want to hear all of it, but I wanted you to hear a little of the Larry King aftermath. Well, first we got a clip from everybody's favorite, Candy Crowley, the Butter Queen. She's about to say something nice about Clinton, but they can't get the effing equipment to work, so we'll never know where she was going.
Bill Clinton can both give that argument and still connect with people in a very real way. How good is Bill Clinton? Here's how good he is. He was able to take something that he has in common with George Bush and Dick Cheney and turn it into a reason to vote for John Kerry. Take a listen.
So they hung there for a while trying to get the equipment to work, and the genius Aaron Brown says, well, when this happens, you go to a commercial. Way to think on your feet, Aaron Brown. Okay, but the bigger point I wanted to see on this, my good friend Ben Affleck was in the little round table after Clinton spoke, and he sounded pretty intelligent, like he knew what he was talking about. He's, because of his acting background, like Reagan, etc., he was very fluid. He knows what he's saying. He's got a lot of confidence. He's ready to jump into the argument. He's pretty good on the facts. He made the occasional mistake, but as far as I know, this is his first time talking intelligent politics with, call it the major leaguers. But I got a few snips for you from Ben Affleck, future senator. And, Christ, you take away John Kennedy Jr., and who's a better-looking candidate than Ben Affleck?
We got an outstanding panel. They are the noted actor Ben Affleck. Ben is the actor and political activist, grew up around Boston. He will be co-hosting Creative Coalitions Gala, seconding the first, a celebration of the First Amendment. What'd you think of tonight, Ben, overall?
Well, I was really excited by it and pleased. I thought that President Clinton gave a stirring speech. And one of the things that I was really pleased by was the lack of acrimony, a kind of call to a more united country for people to work together. And I thought he struck a very positive note. And I thought he very well articulated the Kerry Edwards platform. And it's, this campaign has become more about who Kerry and Edwards are and less about defeating Bush. I think that's increasingly going to be important.
Was it a great speech, Bill?
Clinton's speech was a terrific speech because he managed to do something unbelievable. What he did was stick the knife in the Bush administration, talk about how they made all these choices that have left America worse off, in his opinion. But at the same time, he did it without being mean or harsh or divisive. He did it in the spirit of saying, we're going to offer you unity. How do you bring that off? Tough to do, but Bill Clinton did it.
Tucker, I imagine you may have a differing opinion.
No, I don't know. I like part of the speech. I thought it was charming when he said, you know, a lot of people had the choice not to go to Vietnam, including me, and I didn't, but Kerry did. I thought that was effective. I thought his touting of Kerry really worked. He's a great speaker.
Al?
I think it was a great night. If there was a textbook night on starting a convention, this would be the night. I think Clinton's speech was amazing. The refrain of send me, he almost sounded like a preacher. I think he handled it very well. And I think when he said that we can have a balance in how we approach the world, I think that he really hit home tonight. I thought Senator Clinton's speech was good. I thought Gore was great. I thought Carter was great. It was a great night for the Democrats.
Ben, did you get the impression that Clinton being so good, if he was that good, puts more pressure on Kerry Thursday?
Well, I think there's a lot of pressure on Kerry Thursday, one way or the other, when you accept the nomination. Clinton is probably, in my humble opinion, and I'm honored and humbled to be among so many distinguished guests, and I'd like to say that.
We're honored to have you,
Thank
Ben.
Thank you. that ultimately he is maybe one of the, you know, the greatest political orator and politician of the 20th century. He's extremely effective at communicating and empathizing with people. And I actually disagree with Mo. I think that, you know, Clinton succeeded despite his personal story. He was a governor from some small state. He hadn't done anything particularly exceptional. He had to combat that, whereas Senator Kerry has an incredible wealth of a personal story to talk about, serving in the war, coming back and testifying before the Senate, asking how can you ask America to be the last man to die in Vietnam, being a prosecutor, having a record of services in the Senate in Massachusetts that's extraordinary. And I think I happen to know and be fortunate enough to know Senator Kerry and know him as an extremely warm, approachable, kind, principled, decent man.
Well, he's got to show that Thursday, right?
I think it's important that it comes across.
You
I think
agree,
it will.
Bill?
The line of the evening, strength and wisdom are not opposing values. That was a great line because when Clinton used that line against Bush, everyone in this room knew what he was talking about. Bush is widely admired because he's strong. That's the theme of this convention. But then Clinton said strength and wisdom are not opposing values. Bush is seen as strong, but the criticism is he's not a very wise man. And that's what he was saying about Kerry. He's strong and he's wise.
During the Vietnam War, many young men, including the current president, the vice president, and me, could have gone to Vietnam and didn't. John Kerry came from a privileged background. He could have avoided going too, but instead, he said, send me.
What did you make of that moment?
That was a great moment, I mean, when he came out with his wife. But you know what I loved about Bill Clinton's speech? How he used the personal twist very effectively. He said, they chose, the Bush administration chose to protect my tax cut. And look at what it, you paid for it. He said, Bush and Cheney chose not to serve in Vietnam, and I chose the same thing, but not John Kerry.
Dan, you got a tax cut.
I got a huge tax cut. I have the president to thank for that, just like President Clinton does. But I think one of the I thought really the admirable thing about the speech was I admired the fact that he said you have two strong men who both love their country. He's willing to credit President Bush with being a decent man. And I think he framed it about choices, which is moving away from this acrimonious, personal ad hominem attack politics and making it about, you know, different directions. And I think focusing the debate more on policy, which I think is important. I also like that he used the sort of and Brutus is an honorable man, Shakespearean technique of saying, if you like that, vote for them. I thought that was brilliant oratory.
Hollywood stars are overwhelmingly Democrats. Why is it that almost every one of them who's run for political office has been a Republican? Sonny Bono, Ronald Reagan, Clint Eastwood, Shirley Temple, I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. All the stars who run are
actually
Republicans.
Why don't Democratic guys run?
I have an idea, because most of the Republican entertainers are not good, so they have to go on to other careers. Most of the Democratic actors are good, and we stay in the business.
We're the only thing broadcasting from this hall right now. Midnight to 1 Eastern Time, so we have it all.
We're it.
It's
actually,
ours.
Fox News is doing a John Kerry worships the devil thing out front.
How the election looks right now?
Things are looking good for Kerry right now. Everything could change, of course, but, you know, I looked at polls in all the battleground states, and here's what I found. Of all the close states that voted for Gore, I can't find one that's now inclined to vote for Bush. But I can find six states that voted for Bush that now seem inclined to at least be close or vote for Kerry. Florida, West Virginia, Missouri, Ohio, Arizona, New Hampshire. They're all tilting now to Kerry. That's important. Mm-hmm. And I can't find a single state where Bush's rating in the poll now is higher than the vote he got in 2000.
I disagree a little bit. I think this election is also about the economy. We've lost 3 million jobs since he was elected. I think the tax cut, give it $380+ billion to the wealthiest Americans, really doesn't play. I think that's a big part of it. And if you can't get a job and you can't afford health care and gas prices are going up, I think that informs your choice as well. I agree that I think it's outrageous to suggest that he did it purely for political gain. I just don't think that's true. But I think it is going to be about things other than Iraq as well. Not having found weapons of mass destruction, I think, is really, really damaging. I think that's a big thing because we said, okay, a mushroom cloud. And this is what we're going to avoid. We're not comfortable with being the first country to attack, but we're going to support you in this, and you're on the hook for the WMDs. And when those didn't show up, I think that generated a lot of doubt. But I think it's irresponsible to conjure that up too much, because I think it allows people to start to get this idea. I don't think it would be different at all. I think this country is resilient and strong, and if this entire, you know, if we lost a huge number of additional people, I think you would see the same kind of unity and resolve. We'd go forward with the democratic process, and it would become even more important.
Since we're all in the same boat, we should choose a captain of our ship who is a brave, good man, who knows how to steer a vessel through troubled waters, to the calm seas and the clear skies of our more perfect union. That is our mission. So let us join tonight and say to America in a loud, clear voice, send John Kerry. God bless you.
New York a plus for the Republicans?
I think it serves to remind people of 9/11, obviously. But I think when you conjure up those images in people's minds, it also conjures up questions, as in, why haven't we found bin Laden? Why have we devoted so much time and energy to Iraq when Al-Qaeda was clearly based in Afghanistan? And it also reminds you of why we went there, what we were promised, and what's been delivered. President Bush has not come out and said, I'm responsible for this. He hasn't taken a leadership role to say, yes, the buck stops here. Yes, I'm the president. I told you that we were going into Iraq because they were developing and had weapons of mass destruction, which they intended to use. I'm sorry, America. I made an honest mistake. That's what I believed, and I acted as such.
And heads a roll for giving me wrong information.
Because they're afraid to. Is saying that he wants to incorporate NATO, that he wants to take the targets off the backs of our soldiers, that he wants to more fully fund and finance what they're doing there so soldiers aren't paying for their own body armor. He does want to reduce troop presence in Iraq, but with an international community of others so that the world shares the burden of democratizing Iraq.
Ben, you're being so intelligent, articulate, and charming. Would you ever consider running for public office, even president, and choosing Mo Rocker as your vice president?
I think I wouldn't do it without Mo.
That would be a ticket.
It's a very nice thing to say, although it's always disappointing when people are so surprised. Well, you sound like you could remotely coherent, but it's nice. Thank you very much.
Did you ever think of running for office?
I've thought about it. I think about it and fantasize about it all the time. But I'm already so involved in politics, right? Look at this. I have the honor of being among all these political experts, a congressman, all you people are so impressive. I'm just overwhelmed and proud and humbled to be sitting amongst you.
I just want to keep him in Massachusetts because I don't want him coming down to Rhode Island. No.
Would he be an effective candidate, Tucker, do you think?
Sure. He's a lot more effective than a lot of candidates I've covered.
Yeah, you know your stuff, Ben.
Well, I appreciate it. I mean, it's interesting whether or not, and many people have lamented this, but, you know, the line between politics and entertainment has become increasingly blurred. Never mind Ronald Reagan or Arnold Schwarzenegger, but even with all due respect in televised news media, as you folks compete for ratings, the loudest political voices in this country basically come from entertainment. If you look at, from Rush Limbaugh started as a disc jockey, or Bill O'Reilly was on Inside Edition, one of those things, and Michael Moore, who's a filmmaker, or Al Franken was on Saturday Night Live. Most Americans got a lot of their information about the presidential race last year from Jay Leno and David Letterman. I mean, these things are having an increasing important voice. John Stewart is, brilliant.
I think Ben would be a great politician, but we can talk about Mo off camera.
Burn, Hollywood, burn, I smell a riot.
Bart Cop Radio. If you don't know, we're not going to tell you.
Black one, now move me. Get me the hell away from this team.